Over the course of more than three decades, Sandra Brown has become one of the country's most popular romantic suspense writers, with more than 80 million copies of her books in print. In a field dominated by men, Sandra is one of the few highly decorated female thriller writers. She was the 2012 president of the Mystery Writers of America. In 2008, she was named Thriller Master, the top award given by the International Thriller Writers Association. Sandra makes Arlington, Texas, her home. Today, we'll speak with Sandra about her new title, Mean Streak. Welcome, Sandra, and it's so wonderful to have you back with us on the Book Report.
Thank you, Elaine. I always enjoy being here with you.
Dr. Emery Charbonneau is at the heart of Mean Streak. Introduce us to her.
Well, she's a very interesting character and a very interesting heroine because she is a pediatrician who has a thriving practice in Atlanta, but she's also a marathon runner, and this is really her first love. She has kind of survivor's guilt because she came from a wealthy family, so this is her way of giving back. She runs marathons for charities and organizes marathons for charities, and she's out training one afternoon, and things go awry.
Tell us what you can about the mystery man who finds her up in the mountains.
Yeah, it was fun to write this because I thought, what can I do with him? What can I do with this book that would make it unique and different? You know, I try to build something, some element into books that is unlike anything I've done before. And I thought, I wonder how long I could go without giving him a name. And I get to about page 350 before I reveal to the reader what his name is. And in fact, to all the other characters in the book, because even Emery doesn't know his name. He withholds that for reasons which become obvious. And it was a real challenge to write because I didn't realize quite how difficult it was going to be to write about a character without giving that individual a name. But he's tall, dark, handsome, and very taciturn. He doesn't come across with much information. We know that he's hiding something, but we don't know what. He's reclusive and very stingy with information about himself, which, of course, makes him all the more intriguing.
Right. How did you choose the setting for this story?
Well, I'm actually at that setting right now.
Oh!
We're doing this interview. I spend a lot of time in the mountainous area of North Carolina, and I've been up here in the wintertime. I know how perilous the conditions can be and how they can just shut everything down with fog, ice, some snow, and so I thought it would make for a really good setting because the weather is like one of the characters in the book. It plays such an important and vital role in keeping Emery from being recovered and from being found. So I'm familiar with the climate and the terrain up here to some extent, and I'm not quite as courageous as she is, but it can get pretty hairy up here during the wintertime, so I thought it would make a great setting for this story.
Oh, okay. Mean Streak is riddled with twists and turns. When the reader thinks they know who all the bad guys are, you throw in some more completely unexpected twists. When you sit down to write the book, do you have all of these shockers in mind, or do they present themselves as you progress?
Sometimes they shock the heck out of me. I don't see them coming until it happens. Some of the very best plot twists, I'll be going along, you know, just kind of following the story the way I designed it to be, and then something will occur to a character, and I'll go, oh, wait, that is great. That is so good. And I know that if I have a stunned reaction to it, that the reader will too. I do, as I'm plotting the book, I do build in some reversals because I think every good novelist has to kind of know where they're going. They don't exactly know how they're going to get there. At least that's the way I write. I set out with a problem And I know ultimately how it's going to end, but I don't want to know everything that happens because it kind of spoils the story for me. And so I do build in some high points, some reversals that I know will get the main characters into even deeper trouble. And just when they get their problem solved, you know, there's another problem that's even bigger than the last one. But then there have been times where I was surprised and I went, "Ooh, gosh, didn't see that one coming." And so that's what makes fiction writing so much fun.
We're speaking with Sandra Brown on The Book Report. I love the way you kept suspicion on Emery's husband. How did you maintain the subtlety of that?
That was also a challenge. Because I did write scenes from his point of view. And if that individual is the villain, it's kind of hard to do without giving away too much information, spoil, you know, things to come.
You've written more than 64 books. Where do you keep finding inspiration for each new story?
Well, I think, you know, life and our world and what happens outside of my office inspires me because you can watch one newscast. There are 12 stories that are worse than anything I could possibly create. And so our world is so rife with a lot of bad things happening to people, a lot of evil being done to people, and always mystery, intrigue, brutality. And unfortunately, all of these make for good, you know, topics for thrillers. There are some subjects which I absolutely avoid that I would have put myself, much less a character, through. As a fiction writer, I'm kind of attuned to everything that's going on because the things that interest everyone else interests me, and vice versa. And so, you know, I can, the most bizarre story, I'll say, that's interesting, but what if this had happened? Or what if that had happened? And put a different spin on it. And that's where I come up with a lot of ideas, is just taking things that happen that I've heard about happening in real life and then saying, how did those two people get in that situation?
Yeah. Well, in your genre, do you think it's more difficult for a woman author to make it to the top of the bestseller list? It seems to me that thriller readers sometimes reach for the guys first.
Yeah, I think it is because there has to be a certain amount of grit in each story, or it's not going to be a thriller. I think, however, that every book should thrill the reader. So I think we're cracking and hopefully tearing down that gender barrier. I get a lot of crossover readers who are men, and a lot of crossover readers from generation to generation. It's a genre that's really grown over the past few years, and I'm happy to be writing in that genre. I'm happy to be one of the one person considered a thriller writer.
Right. You've transitioned from another popular genre. Why the change, and do you ever think to go back to those books?
Well, I feel as though I never abandoned anything. I just brought elements of that with me. I think the worst thing that a writer can do is pigeonhole themselves, because it's hard enough for people in marketing or people in the publishing industry to pigeonhole you, even booksellers. You know, what section of the bookstore can your books be found in? And so what I've tried to do is bring all of the elements that I learned and cultivated in romance into the thriller.
Are you already at work on your next book?
Yes, I am.
Right.
I'm in the process of plotting it right now. Well, I want everyone to read Mean Streak. I think you'll find it has a lot of tension in a lot of different areas, the sexual tension plus the suspense and what's going on down the mountain as well as what's going on top of the mountain. And so I hope everyone will enjoy it.
Well, I know I did. Thanks so much for joining us today, Sandra.
Thanks, Elaine.
All righty, bye.
Bye.